Hallelujah. What a Savior. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for who you are, that you are Savior, that you are King, that we can come to you at any time of the day, at any moment that you are there. Lord, that you would be our deepest desire. You are Savior, you are King, and we look to you. Amen. A few weeks ago, we were looking at Jesus as the groom and the church is the bride. And let's make this part two. He was speaking to me about what kind of picture this communion table is, what this represents. And he said, it's for the bride, it's for the groom. So we're going to be looking at what that relationship looks like, what that ultimate communion, when the day he comes, when we are united with him, what does that look like? What does it mean that we proclaim his death, but until he comes? So Jesus invites us to the wedding, and you have to make out a list for the wedding. You have to have an invitation list. Who is on that invitation list? Who is missing? The great thing about this one is you don't have to cut it down. The cost has already been paid for. Jesus paid the cost. That list can be unlimited. But he asks us to RSVP. And on those RSVPs, it says, who's your plus one? You know what I'm talking about? Who's that plus one that you want to bring? Or if Jesus had our way in the kingdom, who would be our plus 10? Who would be our plus 100? Who do you want at that banquet with Jesus? Go ahead and open your Bibles, if you have them, to Revelation 19. We'll be looking at 19, verses 6 to 9. So who is coming with you to that banquet? And just as a preface to Revelations, we see Jesus kind of sets the table for this in his ministry. He talks of a parable of the wedding banquet. I want to start with that the invitation is sent out to the greatest and the least. Some people have spread the word and they said, no, I'm busy. No, I'm tending this field. No, I have this. No, I have that. And the master of the banquet says, there's still more room. So go out. Go out to the city streets. Go out to the alleys. Get whoever would come and who would listen and who would believe. And so the servant says, well, we've done that and there's still more. There's still more space. So he said, go to the road. Go to the country lane and persuade them. Compel them to come in so that my house may be full. I think of that Last Supper, and Jesus says to his disciples, I have deeply desired, I've earnestly desired to have this meal with you. And it's that same picture that he deeply desires that banquet with us at the end. So let's look at Revelation 19. Jesus invites us to his table. He has made a way for us. But there's still room, there's still seats to fill. So Revelation 19, 6 through 9. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. What a picture of that, the wedding, that wedding banquet. I think of the connection of communion to that banquet, that here we see it's the wedding of the Lamb who was slain, that his body and his blood was given for you and it was given for me. That he gave his life, he earnestly desired to have this meal before he would suffer and die, but that he would raise again so that we could meet him and ultimately have that celebration with him. Because that's what communion is. It's a celebration. It is that Christ paved the way, that we remember him, but that we look forward to his coming again. That we do this in remembrance of him until he comes. This great multitude we see in verse 6 sounded like a great multitude. These are the people that have gone before us. They are yearning and longing that Jesus would take his spot on the throne. They are yearning for that completion of his mission, yearning for that fullness of his kingdom. It's as if their heart cry is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the whole earth, in the whole heavens, that it would come to completion." So looking at these two passages, two things jump out that I want to really touch on. That we as the bride, we are to be cleansed. We are cleansed. And that just even the basic thought, the second thing is we are invited. Blessed are those who are invited. No one is left out. He says, go to the least, to the greatest. Go to the city, to the alleyways, to the country roads. No one is to be missed. Tell them, invite them. Blessed are those who are invited. Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice for the wedding of the Lamb who was slain, the Lamb that had the marks for you and for me. He has come, and the bride has made herself ready. I thought that was interesting when I was looking at that sentence. That ready, that word ready, it's the same as prepare. And we've seen that a little bit in John. Prepare the way for the Lord. John the Baptist calls out. That's our call as well, that we are to be ready, that we are to prepare the way for the Lord. How can we do that? Because of his blood and because of his body, we can be cleansed. It says also, that the fine linens that we can be bright and clean was given to the bride, to the church, to wear. It stands for righteous acts of the saints. That we can be cleansed because of his work and because of his work in us. That by being and doing what he's called us to be and to do, looking at that, it reminds me of the Philippians 1. It says, he who has done a good work in you will carry it to completion. That he is working in you and that he will cleanse you, that he will accomplish it through you. Looking forward at this moment, all had been accomplished. All has been set straight, that the wedding of the Lamb had come. That fine linen to wear reminds me of the Psalm 51. It says, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter as snow. It was that point where King David had sinned, and he's crying out to God. He says, cleanse me, because you can take away my sin. And that hyssop, that we can have those bright and clean fine linens. In this picture of communion, the disciples were with Jesus and they were celebrating Passover. And Passover at that time, it used hyssop too. I think that's interesting that hyssop was used with the blood of the Lamb, that it would go over the doorpost. That the price was paid by that Lamb for the Passover, for the family, that a Lamb was slain for the family and hyssop would make them clean. That payment was paid by that Lamb. And Isaiah 53 says that that lamb was slain for you and for me, that all of our sins and all of our iniquities was placed on the lamb, and that he cleanses us. That hyssop for us goes over the doorpost of our heart, that he has cleansed us. He has made our bride ready. Are you ready for his return? Are you preparing the way for his return? Getting back to that Passover, I never realized this. Passover started a new calendar for Israel, that it was a new year. It was a new month. He said, everything hinges on this. And isn't that the picture that we see of communion, of what Jesus did, that the lamb was slain, that we see in 2 Corinthians, it says, if anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That you have been cleansed. You have been made new. It is a new work. He is at work in you. What is he calling you to cleanse? What needs his attention in your life? We, as his bride, he has the power to cleanse. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but his blood. Blessed are those who are invited. We are invited. Let no one be missed. Blessed are those who have been invited to the wedding supper. People must be invited. John 10 says that I have come that they may have life, and that they may have life to the full. He says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep, but I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also that they would listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. That culmination, just as we see in Revelation, that the wedding of the Lamb has come, his bride, all included, his bride would be made ready, that they were invited and they accepted. Looking at that parable of the wedding banquet, Jesus says to us, go out, go to the street, go to the alley, go to the road and the country lanes. Don't just tell them, persuade them, compel them, show them with your life that they might come in so that my house might be full. We are invited, and the invitation goes out. Who are those plus ones, those plus tens, those plus 100s that God has put on your heart? Who do you want to see at that banquet table? Who do you want to see at the communion, that they would commune with the most holy God? May we walk in step with him. May we look to him for cleansing. May he work in us that our work would be put to completion. May he make us new. He clothes us with fine linens, that he cleanses us and makes us whiter than snow. And may we be those who compel others to come, that his house may be full. For blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. So are you coming? And who's on that invitation? Who are you putting on that invitation list? Who do you say, God, I want these people to come with me. I want them to experience your body and your blood shed for them, that they might be cleansed, that they might be invited to the supper, that they might be your bride. So Jesus came for you and me. He said, I am the bread of life. He sustains. He gives us eternal life. Without him, we have no life. So if you're a believer of Jesus, this table is for you. That the bread is his body broken for you, for salvation, for forgiveness of sins. This cup is a new covenant, that we are made new. The old has gone, the new has come. This is a new covenant in Jesus' blood for you. Your life will never be the same, that you are changed.